radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant. That's a G, yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, hour two of the show. Sorry if I went too deep there on the conspiracy theories, guys.
Keep going.
I would say you didn't go deep enough.
Yeah.
That's our real problem, is that you just said Michael Jackson and P. Diddy had the same security guy.
And
you connect the dots.
I don't know, sex trafficking, Michael Jackson, P. Diddy, security guard's the same.
I don't think there was anything with Michael Jackson on
wait,
that front,
so is
dude.
The security guard the sex trafficker?
I don't know. I think he's just around when bad things are happening to people. That's what I think's happening.
So he might be a bad security
but
guard.
But think of all the good times in the 15 years between those two.
Can we talk about P. Diddy? He's not that good, for the record. I'm not a P.
See, now,
he doesn't seem like a good guy.
This is an actual take. This is good.
I don't like P. Diddy's music.
What is he saying?
I couldn't even tell you. Like, I don't.
Bad Boys for Life, which has a new meeting now.
He did that. He did that one song, right? That was a remix of "That's Just the Way It Is" by mm-hmm. Bruce Hornsby and The Range, right?
Mm-hmm. That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Is that Changes?
That's actually
Tupac?
Changes by Tupac. Listen, okay. You want more musical takes like this and some TikTok takes from Joe George? Like this is what this show
is
all about.
This is the place for you.
This is the place for you.
All right, and our Astros opening day countdown. Also the place for you.
It's always Astros time in Houston. Are you ready to play?
A lot of people were wondering what it was going to be like if the Astros didn't win the division. I guess we'll never know.
We're counting you down to the Astros season opener against the New York Yankees March 28th.
By the way, his name is Diddy.
It's just Diddy now?
It's Diddy. And
is he like Ron Artest and just keeps
changing it?
Change his name?
Maybe. So the song I was thinking of was a remix of I'll Be Watching You called I'll Be Missing You. Because it was about a dead person, so I was kind of one.
Yeah, but you were...
Paul knows music.
Yeah.
Now that's what Paul calls music, album 12!
0754. That's Tupac, D.
Tupac, P. Diddy. There is a difference, actually.
There is a difference.
One of them's dead.
A big one. A big difference.
Well, wasn't he with Tupac the night he died?
No.
He wasn't?
No.
No, but some have theories that you could probably go down on TikTok for.
I thought he was at the fight that night too.
I
can't remember. I love all those shows. They finally arrested Keefe D like a month ago on murdering Tupac. All right, Astros countdown. Best opening day plans are what? Where are you going before the game, Paul?
We Highway know Cantina.
Highway Cantina. We'll also be at the Decoy.
But I'm going to Highway Cantina.
So if you're going to the game, go to Highway Cantina.
Right.
If you live in that area, go to Highway Cantina or come hang out with us at the Decoy.
Yeah.
Because the Killer Bees will be there from 3 to 6 to watch the game and do their show. We'll be there, so come hang out when they open.
Hang out with us at the Decoy and then hang out with us at Highway Cantina.
Yeah, both.
And leave.
Yeah.
Leave the Killer Bees to do their own
thing. Yeah, the Killer Bees. Yeah, come hang out. We'll go with you guys. We'll caravan. I'm not going to drive any of you.
No free rides.
Yeah, no free rides. You can call your own Ubers to make sure you can get there.
Yeah. You're basically like, yeah, we'll drive you.
No, we will not. No, you can follow us.
We will not.
You can follow Paul.
Don't follow me. Don't follow me, please.
You don't like when people follow you and see you and don't tell you?
I don't want people to follow me. No, I like to surprise people and just show up places and then Irish exit out. Irish exiting's great. Something I've learned I love in life.
Will you do it to everyone, like at a party?
I will generally tell my closest friends that I'm out.
Okay. But then, like, the non-closest friends, you might just...
Yeah, I used to feel the need to say bye to everybody, but then you end up saying bye to people twice. F that.
Yeah, or you say bye, and then you get stuck in one last conversation. Kind of defeats the purpose of saying bye to everyone. It's best to do what Paul does.
Best place to watch a game at Minute Maid is where? Do you like the Crawford Box?
The Hornitos Bar.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very good.
That's why the Astros have been distracted all these years and why they're losing to the Space Cowboys at home. It's because they're distracted because they see that there's
and El Tiempo in center field. Mm.
And they're just like, ready.
They're like, I'd rather be there.
I want to, you know, all these fans rushing onto the field, I want to rush into the stands. Get that frozen, delicious goodness that's way better at Highway Canteen. Mm.
Sounds pretty good.
I'm so excited that I'm not going to be trapped and pressured by the existence of, you know, that place at Minute Maid Park, because I know that I can just go to Highway Cantina now.
For a much more reasonable price.
A reasonable price margarita. I'm going to go in there before the game. I'm margaritaed up, ready to go. I don't need a second one, because we are a professional journalist. And this way I won't be drinking with a credential anymore.
I will say it's almost two for the price of one.
It is two for the price of one.
It's got to be pretty close. I don't know how much they're extending
Texas-sized
the El Tiempo prices this year at the ballpark. Are you a Crawford Boxes guy? When you go to, like, if you go as a fan?
No. No, I don't want to pay for those. No.
Yeah, I've never been to the
Crawford. You can't really watch from behind the Crawford boxes either. You kind of have to, there's a rope, essentially, and you have to basically see past everybody who's generally standing in that back row. So you can't really see from that area.
What is your belief in the, when you look at this team this year, what is your belief that Kyle Tucker is going to be, like, an MVP level player this year? Do you think he's going to be close to that and can, like, really carry this team from that, from, I don't know, third in the lineup, maybe fourth?
Maybe. But honestly, I don't know. The playoffs don't have me feeling great.
Yeah, you right seem now. More down on Tucker than most, I feel like. That's something I'm learning about you.
Well, I mean, he sucked in the playoffs.
No, it's true.
It's what have you done for me lately? And okay, if he has a good regular season again, like he did last year, does that make me feel better about giving him an extension?
Yeah.
To an extent, yes. I guess it's sort of a question of, all right, well, what do you expect from your outfielders that are in the minors going forward? And are you expecting him to actually put it together in the playoffs when he needs to? And he just did not at any point last year.
I'm not sure if this is a weird take or anything, but I'm almost more confident that they would find a way to keep Bregman over Tucker.
Why is that?
At this point, I still think there's some loyalty to that 2017 team. And Springer and Correa, those guys, it was pretty clear to let them walk because of their health. They really made the right decisions. Where Bregman's on the field. And yes, his numbers are not what they were when he almost won the MVP in 2019. But he's still one of the best third basemen in baseball. He's still very consistent with the bat. He has one of the best eyes in all of baseball. I just wonder if Jim Crane would rather go short-term deal for Bregman than long-term for Tucker. And Junior Bronco, a good point. It is easier to replace an outfielder.
They've been hyping up as well some of their outfield prospects of late.
Big time.
So I think when you look at Tucker, feels like they're already preparing us for 2 years from now, a world without him. With Bregman, I do not legitimately know what your alternative is unless they're trying to hype up Joey Loperfido into being like the third baseman of the future.
Or Will Wagner.
Right.
And they're prospects.
Yep.
Like until they show up, because prospects are such a crapshoot. Look at Jeremy Peña. People didn't know who Jeremy Peña was. Very few people did. And then he came up and he had an absolutely incredible rookie season. And he won the ALCS MVP and the World Series MVP. Mm-hmm. There's no reason why Will Wagner, in theory, couldn't do that to replace Alex Bregman. Or Bryce Matthews, who took in the first round last year. Maybe he has a big time, you know, spring training.
And that's the guy that they've mentioned by name and that everyone seems to be talking about on that front when it comes to a potential Tucker replacement. I wonder what Tucker can realistically get. I know you've been off on Boris of late and what any baseball player can get on the open market. So maybe that helps the Astros out. But I will be intrigued to see if they decide to do a deal with Bregman over a deal with Tucker. But I think we're going to have to wait and see and find out on that one.
Yeah, because Tucker still feels like a 10-year deal. Or 8-year deal.
That's what he'd be looking for, probably.
Yeah, I would imagine if he hits the open market that it is going to be a much larger, much more expensive, and long-term deal. And those are just clearly things that Jim Crane does not believe in. Even though I've always been fascinated by what would Jeff Luna have done when he was here. Like, what would he have done with Correa and Springer? What ended up happening? Would Luna have traded them? Would Luna have found a way to get a deal done? I've always been curious. I wish there was a way to remove the cheating scandal just because of that. Because none of the things haven't continued to go very well for the Astros, but it'd be interesting to see someone analytically driven what they would have done. All right, Otani met with the media yesterday, I guess. He spoke yesterday to the media with a prepared statement, but he also wasn't the only betting scandal in the news yesterday. We'll discuss that next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Looks like it's officially official that Cal McNair is now the controlling owner of the Houston Texans. That was voted on today. The Houston Texans just released a couple statements, one from Janice and the one from Cal. So Cal McNair officially in charge.
It's pretty funny how far we've come with Cal McNair over the last couple of years from so many here, specifically point at Joel Blank, acting like the man was incompetent to where we are now, where with a little help, from Hannah McNair, of course. You look at the Texans as very well run. Obviously, a head coach can do that. Obviously, a quarterback can do that. Obviously, flushing Jack Easterby down the drain can do that. Obviously, getting rid of Bill O'Brien's all-time bad vibes guy can do that. So, lots of changes have happened. But I would say that through it all, were the Texans ever cheap?
No. Robert Kraft, I mean, they never had to do what Robert Kraft did today. Robert Kraft had to publicly basically apologize. He said he read the NFLPA report and realized that he was just getting dumped on by his players, by their facilities and stuff, and realized he said that things were not as bad as he realized with the facilities and everything.
I thought he was going to apologize for the documentary.
He should have apologized for. He should have apologized for that. I've never done as much of a 180 on a guy as I have
after
just all the details from this. Yeah,
interesting.
I get, like, you saved the team, but, like, dude, you did not have nearly as much to do with what went down over that 20-year stretch as you tried to portray in that documentary, from what I understand. And I don't even want to watch it. Like, I don't want to dislike him anymore. I'm already mad about the documentary just glossing over a 21-game winning streak with two Super Bowls, for God's sake.
So Shohei Ohtani met with the media, or he was in a room and the media happened to be there. There was no cameras allowed. He read a statement. The interpreter would relay what he was saying. He's either the biggest liar and fraud on the planet, or he's an idiot. I really don't think there's any other choices. He is either the most naive, dumb person in sports, because he's saying that Ipe, his interpreter, was just stealing money out of his account. I really don't understand the relationship, Paul, between a person and their interpreter. But giving someone your bank account information when they're just your interpreter doesn't really add up to me. I struggled with what he said, because it really makes no sense, honestly.
It's very fair to be suspicious of this entire thing. I watched the press conference. They've got a new interpreter out there because, remember, Shohei Ohtani at least doesn't feel confident enough in his grasp of English to actually speak and explain his side of the story. So he's relying on somebody else to, once again, relay it for him. You know, whether he was, as you said, a naive idiot, or he's lying to people, what I can't get past, and I touched on this yesterday, if you have that much money and you've been in the United States for this long, how the hell have you made practically zero effort to learn English or get better at learning a language in a country where you now live? And I don't ask that to be xenophobic. I ask that because if you watch this press conference, it is very clear that he was the last to know about everything because he did not have an understanding of English. There was a team meeting in the Dodgers clubhouse, and what he's claiming is that He had no idea what this meeting was about. He didn't 100% know why the spokesperson for the Dodgers was speaking to everybody and why his interpreter was speaking in English to the rest of the Dodgers. He found out, based off of this press conference he did, about everything after the fact. And if we are to believe him, and I suppose we have to now because there's no other facts out there, to me, it's just another like reality check. Dude, why didn't you try to learn this language?
Mm-hmm.
What were you doing?
And do rich people really not look at their bank accounts ever? To just realize that there's $500,000 missing twice?
Maybe not every single day, because if you were making what Shohei Ohtani makes,
yeah,
does it even,
he's making so much.
Is it even a blip if you lose $5 million?
That part is like weirdly the most believable part.
I guess you're probably
like
right.
$500,000 could just leave his bank account, and he's like, I don't know, did I have to pay like whatever property tax today? Like, it's just like, oh, okay. Is that just coming out of my paycheck? Like, I don't know. But yeah, I feel like a lot of it is there is a cover up, but I don't know if the cover up is him betting or him paying an illegal bookie, like basically paying for Ipe's like gambling debt.
Mm-hmm.
And his lawyers being like, yeah, it doesn't matter that you're paying for someone's debt. It's still illegal to wire someone an illegal bookie $4.5 million. And that's why, like, there's a weird cover up going on. I feel like that's more likely than he's actually a degenerate gambler, you know?
Yes.
Because I feel like there'd be more pointing at him if he was a degenerate gambler. Because, like, if we're being honest, like, we'll talk about the Jonte Porter story. Like, most of these guys are kind of dumb when they get caught. Like, these guys get caught in the stupidest ways possible. Like that Kayshawn Boutte, the LSU receiver who played for the Patriots, who signed up for DraftKings thing,
mm-hmm,
with his mom's name, and his mom has the same last name as him.
Uh-oh.
Like all these guys get caught in the stupidest ways possible. So the fact that there isn't like some easy like A to B how he gets caught makes me think that like he might not have actually gambled. Maybe he was more aware than he's letting on, but I don't know if he's like the Pete Rose of baseball, or I guess Pete Rose 2.0.
No, yeah, I mean, no, the one thing that's been the most consistent, because Ohtani's story from what originally was reported by ESPN to what's being said now, because the timelines are kind of contradicting themselves, the only thing that's been consistent is that there's been no betting on baseball. So that's where the idea that that a lot of Astros Twitter is out there trying to run around with, that he's going to be banned from the game and stuff like that, it's nonsense.
It's trolling. I don't think anyone actually believes it. It's retaliatory trolling for what the Astros went through during 2017.
Hurt people hurt people.
But Ohtani did say, I think, some very, very, very interesting things from this perspective. You better be right. Quote, and he read this. This was he was going back and forth between notes that he had in front of him. He did not look up from the notes that he looked at for this part specifically, that the interpreter read back to us as, quote, never bet on baseball or any other sport, never have asked anybody to do it on my behalf, never went through a bookmaker. And you really want to put on the tinfoil hat, there's a lot of different directions you could go there. For example, if you go back to when Deshaun Watson was doing his press conference after he was with the Cleveland Browns, where he kept on saying like the same three things over and over again, I never hurt, I never disrespected, mm-hmm, et cetera, those women. Sometimes you need to have something to go back to fall back to, and you want to have it right in front of you and written down so that you remember it specifically, because sometimes these things are a little bit tricky, especially if you're going to be speaking for 10 to 11 minutes about a very confusing story where there's already been multiple different accounts that seem to contradict one another. But to go back to again what he said, quote, never bet on baseball or any other sport, never have asked anybody to do it on my behalf, never went through a bookmaker. Whoa, you better be right, because you are saying never for a lot of different things, not just one thing. It would be one thing if he was saying, oh, well, I had no knowledge that he was doing this behind the scenes. And honestly, I think a lot of people would probably be like, yeah. But now you're saying, yeah, I never bet on baseball, mm-hmm, any other sport, or have asked anybody to do it on my behalf. I remember Rafael Palmeiro saying that to Congress before. They don't like to get lied to. That's the kind of stuff that they like to get their hands dirty with, is if somebody lies to them. And obviously he's not lying with and he's lying to the media here, potentially, if he's lying, not to like actual investigators. But That's the story that they're probably going to tell those investigators.
They're telling everyone that it's theft. This is theft. This is not Ohtani gambling. This is not Ohtani betting on games. This is theft. They've made that so clear. And if there's any inkling to this, that he is going to that's not true, he's going to get buried. And like you can't use an illegal sports book. Whatever. Like, it's not going to probably lead to an all-time ban like Pete Rose if that were to come to fruition, but it's still bad. But you're right. They better, like, have everything, all their I's dotted and T's crossed, because they are very firm in their stance and in their story, and there's already holes in it going back to the timelines of just when Ohtani found out about all of this.
The holes began at the start, and the holes are there because Ohtani either chooses not to get better at learning English or because it's been difficult for him. And whatever the case, like, at a certain point, man, like, some of this is on him. I know he's going to, you know, look at the interpreter. And obviously, the interpreter did some really skeezy things here.
Of course.
But, I mean, he didn't even know what was going on until well after they had announced what was going on in the clubhouse. And now, all of a sudden, like, there are so many stories out there, and it is really difficult to keep them straight. And I suppose this press conference was an attempt to organize all of them. But, okay. I mean, you welcome this guy in who's, at best case scenario, with the way that they're portraying him now, was an incredibly manipulative liar. You let this guy in, and there was no follow-up on it, and you were just totally fine with it, the status quo. And I just don't see how somebody earning that kind of money, who's clearly wanted to play baseball in the United States, mm-hmm. I just don't see how somebody like that would put no effort into being better when it comes to having a grasp of the English language.
He does speak English, though. Like, there's clips of him speaking
English. He does, but
like, you keep saying that he has no grasp of the English language.
But that's the way that it's being portrayed to us, is as if he has no grasp of it. Because that's what they said in the clubhouse. They said he had no idea what was going on in the clubhouse when the translator spoke to everybody.
I think that's the cover-up for, I knew I wired him $4.5 million, yeah. And that's illegal.
So he's using the language as a shield then.
It works for now.
Potentially.
Which is 100% what I would do.
Yeah, but it works for now. But Ipe is not going to. The idea that this guy is just going to go to jail and just be a little church mouse and not say anything. He's going to rat. Like, if there is anything to this, that's why, to your point, they better be telling the truth, because if they're not, it's going to easily come out. And then within hours of this press conference ending, we walk right into the Jonte Porter NBA gambling scandal, which this one was super easy to prove, because this idiot.
Again, that's why I kind of believe Ohtani, is because all the ones that are proven are so easy to prove.
Yeah, because this guy, if you don't know the story yet, there was a bunch of there's two nights this year where Jonte Porter of the Toronto Raptors, formerly of the Mizzou Tigers, because no one knows who he was besides being Michael Porter's
yeah,
brother.
Yeah, he's Michael Porter's
exactly.
brother.
Exactly. I didn't know. I forgot. I was like, oh, that's Michael Porter's brother. Two nights this year, the unders on his game props were the biggest payouts of the night. So this is something that DraftKings specifically and the other sports books are reporting on. And then they realized in these nights that Jonte Porter was playing 4 minutes, 5 minutes, and then it had something wrong with his eye and left the game. And then played 2 days later and had a very, very good night. And then the next time it happened, it was the same thing. All these two tickets cashed on his unders, and Jonte Porter, once again, left the game early, and he has been pulled from action in the NBA.
In both nights, it was like the number one like winning bet yeah. of the night.
Of anything
was Jonte Porter unders.
No, and they capped
two nights at cash.
And they capped these
wow.
for this reason. Like you yeah. can only bet a certain amount of money on player props, on goofy Super Bowl props and stuff like that, because it's so easy. Because any water boy or Gatorade boy can bet the Gatorade prop bet, I'm guessing, and they cap it for that reason. But this one is not Ohtani. This seems cut and dry.
You're out for good.
Oh, Adam Silver.
He can't play again if he's doing that.
He needs to send a message.
Because this isn't what Calvin Ridley was apologizing for with props that involved his team winning. This is like you're leaving games. You are right there.
Yeah, I will say it is. It is funny how these leagues are like they're getting betting scandals, but not like all the way like match fixing. Because this is like Jonte Porter unders. Like this is not really affect. This is a guy who's barely in the NBA.
Yeah, this is crazy.
It's like, honestly crazy they have props for this guy.
Yes, the amount of money he just lost over some small gambling winnings is crazy.
He was making like $1 million this year.
Yeah, and he probably won like $5,000 on these bets. Maybe 10. It's idiotic.
His brother makes like $35 million a
year. Yeah, man, just call your brother.
Hey, come on, guys. It's a disease. It's a disease, okay? Yeah.
This is stupidity.
Cut him some slack. Yeah,
he's getting banned for life.
Yeah, I know. He should.
Well, you have to send a message. You have to.
I can't wait till his lawyer comes up. He's like, he's got a problem, and he's working on it. It's fine. It's fine. The integrity of the game hasn't been affected that much. He's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we talked about this when the Shohei news broke last week. It's like, there's going to be a big match fixing scandal.
This is not it.
Like within this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is not
it's
a big.
It's crazy. It hasn't happened yet with how many things are legal here. But generally, it seems to get found out. Like that pitching coach on that college baseball team.
But that shows that that regulating gambling is working actually because you have to sign up and you have to put in your social security number. And the leagues are tracking it. And the sportsbooks have partnered with the leagues. That's how they caught all the Lions players. That's how they caught Calvin Ridley. That's how they caught. The leagues are not catching these guys. The sportsbooks are catching these guys and telling the leagues.
So they're doing the actual policing themselves. Yeah. Well, that's good. I suppose a conspiracy theorist would counter-argue, Joe. They would say, hey, they're maybe not getting everybody, though. And it is certainly possible that some of this stuff is slipping through the cracks. I would imagine these books are going to do a very good job to protect themselves, especially because they don't want to be accused of some sort of inside job or something like that where they're involved in stuff like this.
And you can't know everybody. You know, Porter, he could have easily just wired his best friend from high school all this money and said, hey, dude, I'm leaving after like the first 5 minutes. My eye's going to be hurting. So take all my unders tonight. And why don't you just send that money back to me and keep 20% to yourself? That's also happening, and they can't stop that, and they can't prove that. But
you got to do small bet stuff if you're going to do it, man. But especially if you're the number one winner for a specific prop on a given night multiple times. Like, one time would be something.
Again, this is why it's so, like, all these guys are so easy to catch.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's even possible he wasn't the one placing the bet. That wasn't made totally clear, actually, so... It is possible, like his buddy was doing it for him.
I've been watching this TV show with the guy from Office Space called Loudermilk.
Mm-hmm.
And I legitimately just watched an episode about like gambling addicts and stuff. And it is very funny to see just how absolutely like bad at gambling some of the most degenerate gamblers can be.
Well, what does Bruno owe? Bruno Mars owes MGM.
Oh, it's like $50 million.
$50 million? And that's from like poker, I think it is.
Yeah. Just go on tour, you'll be fine.
Yeah, just walk. Yeah, that's the thing. If you're Bruno Mars, you go on a tour, you're good to go.
The problem was he had a residency in Vegas. The MGM.
Yeah, and so he was like doing his residency, and they just like losing all his money.
Oh, wow,
that's the problem.
Holy crap, $50 million.
Yeah.
Man, I don't think I'd be able to live in Vegas. I don't think I'd be able to live there, man.
What, you think you're going to get 50 million? Or I guess
no,
like,
no, no.
Your equivalent is like 50 G's?
I think anybody who lived, like, I'm surprised Celine Dion hasn't dealt with something like that. Or Celine Dion was gambling on, like, underground chicken fighting or something like that.
Bono lost all of the money he made off the Sphere.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get to our 10-minute drill next here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Stand, hush.
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
Some news that came out today from the NFL. We'll start with a holiday. Christmas Day. It's on a Wednesday this year. The NFL, even though it's on a Wednesday, said today there will be a doubleheader on Christmas Day.
They have no shame.
So Wednesday, we'll have two football games. Thursday, we'll have one football game. Saturday, we'll have a couple. Sunday, we'll have a bunch more. And then the college football playoffs start the next 2 days after that. It's going to be a glorious couple days.
The last Wednesday NFL game was Steelers-Ravens in 2020 due to COVID. I don't understand why they got to have a game every single day.
Well, this seems that they just want to take Christmas from the NBA.
They already have.
That's why I think this is a little bit different than just having a game every day. They want Christmas.
Is this vengeance for former Mavericks owner Mark Cuban saying that Fat Hogs get slaughtered? Uh-oh. It almost feels personal at this point.
I think they're trying to ruin them.
The NBA used to tip off on Christmas Day.
That's
at
when
least
it mattered.
As far as people started paying attention, mm-hmm. even though it's, you know, a month and a half into the year. The diehards are there. I don't need more football. Every single day of the week, I don't need it. I like having it on a couple of days. This is me complaining as someone who watches sports for a living more about the fact that I'm going to have to watch games every single night now because that's the league I care about the most.
Mm-hmm.
But this annoys me.
We found out the Texans will start the season. We'll get more into this later. The Texans will begin their preseason against the Bears, the Hall of Fame game.
Great, another preseason game. Exactly what I wanted.
Yeah, so
another
now,
preseason game for the Texans.
They're back to four.
Nice. Show bet for Bears-Texans?
Let's save that one for the regular season game.
Huh.
I think it's time. I think it's time to abandon them.
I don't really need Tyler Bagent versus Davis Mills in my life because that's what it's going to be.
You're right.
But that's I knew that.
There might be a little Caleb Williams.
I knew the Texans were going to play in this game.
You knew?
It was pretty
Andre Johnson?
Yeah. First time Trey's getting the Hall, like first Texan in the Hall of Fame, you're going to have the Texans
Bears,
represented.
Devin Hester.
Yeah, that's a good. So you have Hester and Mongo, who played on the 85 Bears, both going in. And then you have
Mongo?
Steve Mongo McMichaels.
Oh, McMichaels.
Everyone just calls him Mongo. Even when he wrestled in the WCW for a brief
You mean
time.
People in Chicago called him?
I mean, he's pretty well known.
There's Mongo, also Alex Karras, who plays Mongo in Blazing Saddles. So I've never heard of Mongo before.
Okay. Well, he's also going in. And then you have Trey going in. So I'm not surprised that the Bears and Texans are starting their season that way. There's going to be a third challenge flag this year?
Right. If you get one of your two challenges right,
you get a third.
You get a third one, as opposed to if you get both of your challenges right, you get a third now.
This is lame.
Yeah, you just have to go 50% on challenges.
You should have to go. You should get both right, and then you get a third. This is dumb. I don't like this.
No, I like it, but more replay doesn't necessarily lead to a better product. But sometimes you're going to make a challenge, and they're not going to overturn it.
Then don't challenge it.
What, you're supposed to know that they're not going to overturn it every single time? Sometimes it is cut and dry, and they just don't change it.
That's true. Sometimes it's very clear that it looks like a overturn, and they don't do it. But I don't love it.
Just yeah.
Why don't you love it?
Go 50%.
That third one's a participation trophy.
It's a participation trophy.
Just had to get one of these right.
I can't wait. Someone's gonna remember that I said this, and then it's gonna win the Texans a game. They're gonna call me an idiot, and I'll say, you know what? Well deserved.
You challenge a play in the first quarter, get it right, and be like, sweet, I got two more.
Yeah, two more in the bag.
I can just any time.
Yeah, honestly, this is just more TV commercials.
It is.
That's what this is.
100%.
This is like, hey, how can we get more TV commercials? Let's give the coaches another challenge. We'll go to break during the challenge, and when we come back, we'll have the answer.
Someone's gonna use.
Or they'll have the double box.
Yeah, one coach is gonna use it as like an extra timeout. They're just going to challenge a play that has no chance at getting overturned. And just like, well, I already have another challenge.
Exactly.
Like, this is just a fourth timeout this half.
Yeah, that's fine. J.J. McCarthy. So we mentioned how Jim Harbaugh said his J.J. McCarthy's pro day was the best he's ever seen, which is just gassing up your former player. But some of the sports books followed suit, and they moved J.J. McCarthy from a plus 2,500 to a plus 500 betting odds. to be the number two pick. Now, Jaden Daniels is still a minus 175 betting favorite. Drake May is still ahead of J.J. McCarthy. But it's quite a line change. That means nothing to me.
You don't think McCarthy's going to be going that early?
This is the one thing I would never bet on. Will Levis, last year, Benjamin Albright pointed this out yesterday. When the fourth pick was on the clock, and you could go on websites and still bet live odds, Will Levis was a minus $1,000, minus 1,000 bet to be the fourth pick in the NFL draft last year. He went
favorite?
He went in the second round.
Was minus 1,000 the favorite?
Yeah.
But minus 500 is a lot.
Or plus 500, yeah, is what McCarthy is.
Okay.
I just don't think the betting odds are necessarily reflective. Like, the point, like, everyone, like, the books were like, Will Levis is going fourth. He went in the second round. I would never bet on this.
Yeah, unless they have, like, a line in on one of the GMs.
And sometimes, like, they do.
Yeah, sometimes they do. Sometimes they know some information. But, like, well, stuff like that. It's like, there's actually no, they don't actually know that if the Colts want Anthony, or want Will Levis or not.
Yeah, they want Richardson. Like, yeah. Everyone thought they were going Levis.
They picked a quarterback. They picked the different one.
Yeah, I just... But it is... He's going to go top 10. That I'm pretty confident about. That J.J. McCarthy will go in the top 10.
Yeah, the Vikings, at the very least, will trade up for him.
Yeah, if they don't trade up for a quarterback, then... I guess I would just be confused about the Texans trade, because that's what I thought they made. That's what I thought the Vikings made for it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
To get ammo.
They're probably trying to package them together. Best case scenario, they're probably hoping that the guy falls to them at, what, 11? So.
Yeah. Did you watch the explanation the NFL put out today about the new kickoff rules?
Yeah, I read it, and I like the explanation that it's the XFL, the best. It's just the XFL. No one can move until the ball is kicked and received by the returner.
And they're what, on the 30? 30 or 40-yard line?
So they will be lining up at the receiving team's 40-yard line to kick off. Nine members of the return team will be in a setup zone between the 35 and 30. Up to two returners can line in a landing zone between the goal line and the 20. No one other than the kicker and returner can move until the ball hits the ground or hits a player inside the landing zone. Touchbacks will be marked at the 30-yard line. No fair catches allowed.
My biggest issue with it is what falls after that. Is that they did not vote yes on the 4th and 20 or 4th and 15 onside kick. And now you have to tell someone you're going to an onside kick. And I guess they're going back to the way they've been doing the onside kick. Because I don't think you're doing the onside kick from that new kickoff location. I don't know. That's confusing to me.
The kickoff location is where the kicker is kicking is the same.
So the players will go back.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they're not doing it gladiator style like back in the day.
But there's no surprise onside kicks anymore. So now if the Texans are losing, you know, to the Bills, D'Amico will have to tell the referees, who will then tell the Bills, that an onside kick is coming.
Yep, the Sean Payton onside kick in the Super Bowl can never happen again.
I don't enjoy this part of the rule.
Onside kicks are hard to return as it is, but yeah, the surprise onside kick is legitimately the probable, you're going to have the highest probability of recovering it, of any kind of onside kicks, and now you got to report it. Takes a little gamesmanship out of it. They've been making too much happen with the kickoffs. I get it. Sometimes people run into each other full speed and it's a violent collision, but I mean, this is the NFL. This happens. It sucks what happened to Eric LeGrand, but... I think it was a former Texan tight end that had the same injury with the Buffalo Bills. It sucks, obviously, but...
I mean, stuff
like this is still going to happen. I don't think this prevents it necessarily.
And they're so confident in it that they have decided that it will only officially be active for a year, and they will re-vote on this next season.
Oh, I don't like that either.
So it's
kind of how they do everything.
Yeah,
when they make a new rule, they're like, "We'll do it.
We'll see how it goes.
We'll do it for this year and then re-up."
I don't think they'll go back. But if you put it in, you can't go back. You look like an idiot if you go back.
Yeah,
I mean the only way is like if this fails somehow, which I don't really get how that does, because you've already had a football season worth of proof that it works.
Yeah,
the XFL season,
and it's supposedly much more exciting.
Yeah, so that's why I'm okay with the surprise on kick going away. is that, A, like, how many surprise onside kicks do we get in an NFL season?
Mm.
Versus how many crappy kickoffs where it doesn't, you don't even have to watch the play happen, where it's like a ceremonial, like, and
it is
there
ceremonial,
goes. He kicks the ball out of the end zone. We're starting the game now. We're, this is adding a football play to football.
Yeah. So who's the kick returner for the Texans next year?
They got two who returned kicks for touchdowns last year. You got Damian Pierce, and you got Andrew Beck.
Put all Andrew Beck back there.
Andrew Beck for kick return 2024.
Do best.
Okay. Speaking of the NFL and the NFL families, Deion Sanders, he's got takes on his kid's future. We'll discuss those next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Gallant George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So Deion Sanders was meeting with the media. And he was dropping some interesting nuggets on the future of his son and Travis Hunter as well. And that, well, first of all, Shador Sanders will not play in the cold, Paul. He will not play in the cold. And this is going to be an Eli Manning situation, apparently.
He's playing in Colorado already.
Dude, that's what I thought. I thought the same thing.
When does it start snowing in Colorado?
Probably as early as I bet you they get snow in October sometimes.
Colorado's got wacky weather.
Yeah, I'm sure sometimes it doesn't snow till January, and sometimes it snows in October.
I do know that we used to have family friends who would winter in Arizona and live the rest of the year in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming it gets cold there. So, okay, willing to play at one of the least successful Power 5 college football programs of the last 20 years until Deion Sanders got there, but unwilling to play in the cold. Got it.
Denver, close enough, whatever, had 3 feet of snow this year.
That's okay. It?
Okay. Well,
it's about 8 inches in October, 2 inches in November, 3 inches in November.
What do you make of the, this is going to be Eli Manning, basically, just saying straight up. Like, he's not going to play for certain teams.
F you.
I think it's putting a crazy amount of pressure on the reason why J.J. McCarthy is going to go in the top 10 this year, and the reason why people think Bo Nix and Michael Penix could be first-round picks this year is because if you listen to anyone that covers the NFL draft, they are already saying that next year's draft is not what you want it to be for quarterbacks. It's always the opposite. There's always – next year's always better. And they're looking at next year's class and going, eh. Like, you have Quinn Ewers and you have Shador Sanders, who I like both these guys. But Shador Sanders
There'll be someone else, though.
There always is.
I don't understand why people are, like, doing the projections like right now without a full college football season. I feel like, use the most recent season as an example to determine whether or not a guy is or isn't a guy. This is why the draft industrial complex, everyone needs to just slow their effing roll. No one knows what the hell they're talking about. They are full of it, and I get it. Some people actually do study it, but we're talking about guys 2 years down the road. I'm supposed to seriously believe that you put in the work about a guy that's going to be in the draft class 2 years from now?
No, for sure. But, I mean, like, the idea that even Deion thinks that his son is good enough to be the first overall pick in the draft is crazy.
Is he a first-round draft pick? Honestly, I don't know that.
Probably. When people were doing the mock drafts during the season for this year, there were people that saying if he came out, he could have been a first-rounder this year. But
look, he's a good player. There's no denying that. But there's also a lot of Colorado baggage, which is – they are hyped because Deion Sanders is there. And I get it. Some people are going to do their due diligence and study and make sure that Shador Sanders checks all the boxes as far as quarterbacks that you're looking for in the draft. But, I mean, my response to somebody talking about his draft status in a draft class that has yet to take form yet is, F you, you're already saying this? How about don't get blown out by the first good team that you play? In a game that was over at halftime.
Do something this year. It's early. I'm surprised. This surprised me by Deion. He's pretty calculated when he talks about his kids and their futures and his team and their future. Someone asked them, Dan Patrick asked him during the Super Bowl week about if he would guarantee a Super Bowl, I mean a Big 12 championship this year and making the college football playoff. He said, no, I don't do that. But then to already say that your kid who's the quarterback on that football team is good enough to pull an Eli Manning, that sure sounds like a team that's going to go to the national championship to me this year if your son's that good at football. I'm surprised.
Caleb Williams went like 8-4.
Good point. Touche. Touche.
Drake May didn't win anything in North Carolina.
Touche. Good point.
LSU. Huh?
Yeah. They were
Hayden Daniels.
10-2, 9-3.
They were pretty good, though.
Tells you have 9 wins?
Yeah, I think they
lost 9 to Alabama and to Florida State, I think.
Yeah. And then maybe a bowl game, which no one cares about because those things aren't relevant to the world. And plus, Jaden Daniels.
And then J.J. McCarthy was the greatest quarterback I've ever
National
seen.
National title winner.
The greatest quarterback any of us have ever seen. Champion. We just didn't know it at the time.
But Jim Harbaugh told us. And the odds changed that much. The guy
who called like 57 straight run plays every single game says he has the best quarterback in the world.
It's crazy.
We don't see it the way that Jim sees it.
At least,
and that's an us problem.
At least Deion Sanders lets his kid throw the ball.
Yeah,
Jim Harbaugh makes his kid hand it off.
Yeah, Shedeur Sanders is in versus Colorado State is having this incredible football game and leading them back, driving down the field to
Colorado
get the game
State,
tied up.
But
it's
yes.
Colorado State, but yes, but
basketball
if,
school.
But if that was a Michigan game, Jim Harbaugh would be giving the ball to Blake Corum and not letting J.J. McCarthy throw it. It's crazy.
Because he's a team player.
The difference of these two quarterbacks, but the hype that they're both getting kind of blows my mind.
Yeah, it's bizarre to me, too.
I am team Shedeur Sanders, though. I think he will be good. But this is a little much.
He might be. He might not. But like, I see this, and I'm just like, F you, dude.
Yeah.
Like, who the hell are you? Yeah. I say the same thing about Caleb Williams. Like, I get it. You want to have control over where you go. And you think it's ridiculous that the NFL draft exists. But this is how they try to keep things competitive. That's why the bad teams get to draft good players. And this idea that you're different, that you're special, just flies in the face of team sport so hard. F you! That's what I think. If you are somebody who has the talent to make it happen in the NFL, we'll see when you get there. But this idea that you should have control before you even get there, to me, it is
absurd.
Yeah, it's entitled.
Well, because you've done nothing.
And someone pointed out that, you know, Eli Manning did the, I mean, literally, they're calling it pulling an Eli Manning, which I'm sure Eli's like thrilled about. He's like, yeah, thanks. but you look at it, his dad, NFL player.
One of the best ever.
John Elway. He could play baseball for the Yankees. Like, he had a credible threat to play baseball for the Yankees. Bo Jackson had a credible threat to play baseball. It's like, this really only happens when your dad is either an NFL player, an NFL legend, really.
Or you can play another sport.
Yeah. It's the only time this happens.
Yeah.
It's annoying when it happens.
It is, especially because I just don't.
See, I don't remember the Eli Manning thing happening. So, like,
yeah, I was pretty young when that happened too.
I remember this
would be kind of a first, but
just be good enough.
Some brand for the
good enough to be worth it.
Be projected to be the first pick in next year's draft before you start saying things. Like
yeah,
this.
That's what exactly. Like is he even pick 15 right now in that draft? He might be. I don't know.
Let the way too early 2025 mock drafts come out. See Shedeur Sanders number one overall, then make the statement, and I'll hear you out. All right, before we go to break, tell you about my friends at OAthletic. Check them out at oathletic.com or 767 North Shepherd. I was just there this morning getting a workout in, getting a nice little treadmill run, a little arm day today as well. I set up my training session with my guy Cam next week so we can check in my progress and just see how everything has been going for me. So if you're like me and you want to lose weight in 2024, you want to put on muscle, you want to lean out, OAthletic is absolutely the place to do it. And if you don't know what to do on your own, they've got personal trainers, and they have over 100 classes a week, from weightlifting to Brazilian jiu-jitsu, boxing, MMA, agility, weightlifting, all of that for you at OAthletic. Check them out at oathletic.com and tell them Joe George sent you by.
ESPN 97.5.